Following is a paid program on 630 WLAP.
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. This week, joining us, Adarsh Mashru, Philip Sexton, Mike Johnson, of course, our host, Tom Dupree. Today, we'll wrap up our month-long series on Investing 101. Today, we're going to cover the pandemic has made significant changes on how we do things in a lot of different ways. With weekly testing, the vaccine mandates at large factories, many have started to consider options about early retirement. If you find yourself being one of these people, this segment is for you. Without further ado, our host, Tom Dupree.
All right. Well, this is the very first Eagles song I remember hearing. It's a live version that's a lot more textured than the original song that came on out on the studio version. But I thought at that time, well, this is just another Pure Prairie League. You know, that's kind of what I thought. Because if you compare this song to, say, Amy, very similar. Then, without playing all the songs, you go forward to, say, Hotel California. And that sounds a lot like some of the songs by the James Gang. So, I guess the thing is, the Eagles have considered who their audience is over the years and have sort of morphed themselves, and even just like a successful football team. You know, the Eagles are kind of like the New England Patriots of rock or country rock music. They're a perennial winner, if you will. How do they do that? They change their lineup from time to time. They change certain things to adapt to what their audience wants to do. Now, the one thing in this video, they're all kind of wearing suits, like almost business-looking suits, even Joe Walsh. And if you didn't have Graham Parsons, you would not have this. And Graham Parsons, who hung out with Emmylou Harris all the time, had one of those flowered Porter Wagoner suits. If you're going to play this kind of music, you got to wear a Porter Wagoner suit in my world. Okay, let's move on to what we're talking about. So
I have no clue what a Porter Wagoner suit is.
Well, look him up. Just, it's the glitter thing. And the when it got to California, the Bakersfield deal, man, it was like, you know, that stuff got wild. You know, things that these guys wore. Buck Owens was more toned down, but Graham Parsons was off the hook. Now, what we're talking about today is the process of picking an advisor. Knowing what I know about certain advisors out there, I wonder why anybody would ever pick an advisor to begin with. It's kind of like picking a doctor, you know. It's almost like you don't really want to know too much about this guy because, you know, you got to take things on faith. But if you decide you do need an advisor and you want to have one, you might want to begin to ask yourself, what kind of advisor do you need to know? And you actually need to know what kind there are. If it's a broker dealer, and I've been in that world for decades, or was in that world for decades, you're operating under what we would kind of loosely call caveat emptor, buyer beware. And that is perfectly okay in that universe to sell somebody something as long as it meets a suitability standard. The commission doesn't really matter, although some commissions can be considered excessive, but one would think that by now some of these high commission annuity products would have already been removed from the market, and they haven't been. So those kinds of things remain, and they're just as toxic to your pocketbook as they were 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. So the industry, you know, does not have a great record of completely cleaning itself up. So you have to be careful about what you are doing. The other alternative for an advisor is a registered investment advisory firm. I will say that Dupree Financial Group is one of those. They're not perfect either. But they have certain ways of doing business that are designed to make the playing field a little more level and transparent so that you know what you're getting, what you're paying for, and that sort of thing. And then there's that term fiduciary. It's a Latin word, and rather than define it in Latin, I will say that it simply means one who performs a function as a fiduciary is required to put the interests of that or those whom he or she is fiduciary over ahead of one's own interests. One is not only a fiduciary for financial assets. In a sense, parents are fiduciaries for their children. If I leave a car that I've had work done on at the car shop and it stays there overnight while it sits in his lot, he's a fiduciary for my car. He's supposed to make sure that nobody steals it. So it really applies to anything or anybody who acts instead of someone else and whose responsibilities are well-defined and in many cases fairly narrow. Because you're not being a fiduciary over anything else but the thing that you're watching over. So, you guys jump in. It's just lots of fun. We have a great time around here. I don't know what anybody would ever complain about.
I can't add anything to your definition of a fiduciary. And when you look at, you know, what a fiduciary is, as you just defined, you still have to look at the compensation on how, so once you've defined who you're looking to potentially do business with, are they, you know, with a broker dealer, are they a registered investment advisor, a fiduciary, you still have to look at the compensation structure. You can have fiduciaries who still operate on, you know, it could be a commission fee structure. It can be a blended fee structure. And I'm not saying one is better than the other, because all of these can serve a purpose in the market, but you have to make sure that that's aligned with what your goals are. You know, like you use the car dealer, you know, the salesperson at the lot is commission-based. A Toyota dealer salesperson is not going to recommend to you to buy a Ford. They're going to say, hey, buy this Toyota.
Unless it's a bigger commission.
Unless it's a bigger commission.
It's selling off the used car lot. You know, those commissions get pretty good.
Yeah. But it's a part of the market, and that can meet certain people's goals. But you have to make sure that it's aligned with what your goals are. You look at some of the different fee structures. You can have some that bill on time. You can have some that are based purely on performance. You have others that are a percentage of the assets. That's how our firm is structured. We charge an annual management fee based on the assets. That cuts to the incentive. If someone's compensated on time, well, they're going to be inclined to, you know,
bill time.
if a firm is incentivized purely on performance, that can incentivize that firm to take more risk potentially, to try to get that big payday. Think of a hedge fund as an example of that. Our fee structure is designed to put our compensation in line with our clients' goals. We specialize in retirement investing, a long-term investment approach, a long-term relationship. We're not trying to get that big payday, if you will, either by selling a product or by making a big one-time play in the market. Our goal is to have a long-term relationship. So we want to have that fee structure that incentivizes us to act in our client's best interest for a long period of time, provide good service over a long period of time, and invest in a way that is a long-term investment approach in conjunction with our client's goals. I mean, it's really that simple. I mean, you look at, is the person incentivized to act in the best interest? How are they incentivized? Those are two of the first and biggest questions to ask.
Let me address that, because having done both for many years, I can tell you, if I'm a broker, I think about, how am I going to take care of me and my family? My compensation is primarily coming from commissions. So if I'm managing your account, if I'm thinking about me, and I think about me a lot because I'm human, I think about, how do I take care of me at the expense of your account? And so I will come up with ways to make trades in your account that are going to pay me a commission so I can feed my family and pay my mortgage or what have you. It immediately puts me at odds with you. Now, you could say, well, you know, not necessarily, because, you know, we can figure out a way to make it work for both of us and you get paid a commission. And creative people do that. But I'm going to be more likely to sort of creatively figure it out and approve of it regardless. Why? Because I'm human and I got to get paid. I prefer to take myself out of an incentive situation that rewards me to create arbitrary activity. I would rather be incentivized purely to grow your business. That's all I'm really interested in doing in the last analysis. And if I can tie my compensation to a percentage of the assets, I can get to where I'm financially secure. I don't have to worry about creating trades in your account. Think about your advisor as a human being. He or she needs to get paid. What is the best way to pay them without them potentially creating disruptive actions in your portfolio? The reason we aligned everything with the fee-based deal is because we realize that managing a retirement account is a marathon and not a sprint. And we wanted to be able to see that long-term we could compensate ourselves and you, the client, over time and not have to keep thinking about, you know, let's do trades. So that's not, you know, we don't charge commissions on trades. Our broker-dealer does. It's a tiny amount. We don't get a penny of it. So we have zero incentive to do activity. And people can't get that out of their minds. Sometimes they think you're making money when you're doing trades. We're not. Mm-hmm. We're not making money trading your account. We're making money by managing your account and charging a percentage of the assets on a quarterly basis.
I think to add to that too, you use the car salesman analogy. You know, some of the more successful dealerships nowadays have changed their pay structure to a you just get a flat rate per car.
That's it.
And that you talk about incentivizing your workers and your customers to meet on a parallel basis. Well, that now puts that salesman out there going, I'm going to make sure that this customer gets what they want. They're going to tell me I want a Ford or a Toyota or something like that. We're going to go down that line because irregardless, I'm going to get paid what I need to get paid. You know, I'm not looking at going, oh, wow, we've got a $3,000 markup on this sucker right here.
Yeah, but what car dealerships really want to do these days is get those units out there so they'll get brought back into the service department. That's where the money gets made. And in a sense, we're doing the same thing. We're not getting an upfront deal, but we want people to be repeat customers, come back for, quote, servicing, if you will. And that's how we get paid. Hey, we get paid to do the business we're in. I ain't going to lie to you. It's not free, you know. But the thing, it's more smoothed out in a way that you can predict it. You know what you're paying. It's very, very clear. Nothing's hidden. There are no hidden fees. You know, there's no 12B1s or fees that you don't see like you have with annuities.
One other thing I wanted to add, too, to add to your definition of fiduciary, I'll go on a more biblical sense in that it really should be what we like to define ourselves here should be more like a shepherd, you know, from a biblical sense where
sounds more agricultural to me.
Well, we're watching over our clients and trying to get them from point A to point B. And if a wolf or a lion, albeit, you know, whatever risk that is, you know, we're getting between our client and the thing that's trying to kill him.
But if it's a bear, all bets are off.
Nice pun there.
You have to take it, you know, look at it a little deeper too, in the sense of, let's say you have a person that you work with and they're, you know, a broker, and you say, well, they're smart, they're honest, I like them. You have to look at how that the firm over that broker or that advisor, there can be conflict there. So it doesn't matter how good a particular individual is if the umbrella that they're under isn't also working in your favor or isn't aligned with you.
Exactly.
And so this,
That's true. That is very true.
None of this is a knock on any individual. It's the umbrella that the people are under that has to.
Couldn't agree with you more. And that's what I saw was the case at my old employer that I needed to get out from under in order to do the kind of thing we're doing here. And it was a risk, a big risk. It took a long time for it to work. In fact, I look around at you guys sometimes and myself, and I think, is it really working? I'm just kidding. It's a joke. All right, guys. It's obviously working or else we wouldn't be here.
So. Yeah, the show wouldn't exist.
That's
yeah.
true.
He says, well, he looks around. I didn't expect this.
No, and that is true.
Well, and the humor of the whole thing is that it took a very long time to lay and accumulate and everything.
I don't know what recording you got. Well, it sounds like it's coming from the bottom of a barrel somewhere.
I don't know what the story is, but you know what? Sometimes you have trouble chewing gum and walking at the same time. Walking, talking. This is a Tom Dupree Show. We'll be back in just a few minutes with clear music and more good content. Stay tuned. Sounds like chipmunks.
What is happening?
Inflation is elevated.
Shortages and price hikes.
There's more.
What's happening?
Infrastructure.
Democrats make promises.
It's time to close the deal.
That is what's happening.
Know what's happening.
Clear and transparent information.
News Radio 630 WLAP.
In another ad, I ask if money has any value. I'll answer that question by saying that money has no value other than what it can buy. If you've been to the grocery store lately, you know that money doesn't do what it used to do. Investments are good only insofar as they maintain the purchasing power of the money invested in them. In other words, an investment's value is only to the extent that it makes you more than inflation takes away from you. If you'd like to have your investments examined by our team in order to discern whether or not they can keep up with inflation, call Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400. Also, be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturdays at 7 a.m. or on the podcast at DupreeFinancial.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at DupreeFinancial.com.
We're a farm store, a family store, a Look What I Found store. We're a store made for real people and some real beasts. We're a Hey Neighbor kind of store and an everyday low price store. We're Rural King, and we're working hard to be your favorite store. Check out the huge selection of men's, women's, and kids' Wrangler clothing at the lowest prices every day, like these Wrangler retro bootcut jeans for just $49.99.
Whether you're vaccinated or not, it's important to know the symptoms of COVID and its variants. Fever is the leading sign, and only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Non-contact thermometers have no clinical evidence behind them and cannot be relied on. Be vigilant and seek medical advice at the first sign of fever. Be accurate with Exergen. Learn more at Exergen.com.
The weather is chilly, but it's not officially fall until you button up a soft and cozy flannel from Untuckit. They're perfect for keeping warm and in style this season. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked, so you'll look sharp and stay comfortable all day long. The wrinkle-free and performance shirts are great for work and the weekend. Just layer a super soft sweater on top for more dressed-up occasions. So update your closet this fall at Untuckit.com or at 80-plus stores. Use code COZY for 20% off your first order. Untuckit shirts, designed to be worn untucked.
much more of the same across the area today. Gusty showers coming at us in waves, on again, off again. Outside of that, it is chilly and windy. Temperatures holding steady, low and mid-50s. Good news for Halloween. We dry things out. Sky's becoming partly cloudy. We'll see an afternoon high 55 to 60. Odds favor a cold pattern as we go into next week, the beginning of November. From the WKYT First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Chris Bailey.
Broadcasting live 24/7 from the Red State Barbecue Studios. This is News Radio 630 WLAP.
Did you know that you might be overpaying for your prescriptions? It's okay, because there's an easy, convenient solution. Check GoodRx. GoodRx lets you compare prices at different pharmacies and shows you where to get the lowest price. Here's Joe, a doctor and GoodRx customer.
I was able to look up some medicines that I was going to get, and it saved me a good amount of money.
GoodRx is helping millions of people, and it can help you too. For simple, smart savings, check GoodRx. GoodRx is not insurance. In 2020, GoodRx users saved an average of 79% off retail prices, individual compensated for their time. Visit GoodRx.com/radio to learn more.
In the world of investing, there's a debate about what has value. Does money have value? What about stocks, bonds, gold, oil? A good rule of thumb is that something that has value will continue to be useful no matter what happens in the markets. So that might include things like water, real estate, food, and energy. The paper which trades on a daily basis in the stock and bond markets actually derives its value from underlying assets which perform a function in daily life that is unrelated to the markets. Figure this out and you will do well at investing. If you'd like to know more about your retirement investment accounts, give Dupree Financial Group a call at 859-233-0400 and we'll set up a no obligation review of your accounts. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings. That's Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400.
630 WLAP.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show for the second half of the second hour. Joining us, Adarsh Meshru, Philip Sexton, Mike Johnson, our host Tom Dupree. And this hour, we're wrapping up our month-long segment on Investing 101. This particular show is for you if you're thinking about an early retirement for whatever reason. You want to choose your advisor carefully. So without further ado, once again, here's our host, Tom Dupree.
So when I heard this song the first time, you know, I didn't really follow the Beatles or the Eagles because I had kind of quit listening to rock music for a long period of time. And this would have been around the mid-70s, later in the 70s, where I had kind of stopped for a while. But I remember not hearing this first part of the song, but the end where it's da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, and I thought, this is not bad. I mean, but then I didn't even trace it back to the same band that did Peaceful Easy Feeling, because they had changed so much. Or had they? I think if you go back and really look at it in 50 years, you will see that Glenn Frey was the Bill Belichick of popular music. He knew how to put a team together. I mean, he'd be up on stage wearing a coat and tie sometimes, you know, and they're all looking like hippies. And he became a corporate titan, if you will. I mean, would you not agree with that?
Absolutely. You look at the styles. I mean, Glenn Frey, he was a rock guy. But, you know, I mean, that was kind of what he was doing before this, you know, kind of more rockish. Don Henley, you know, more pop, yeah, kind of tilted. Joe Walsh, rock.
Yeah.
Don Felder, who is a
he's
phenomenal
the guitarist on this thing.
It's him and Walsh. Don Felder was just an amazing guitar player, but he was more of a rock, heavy metal guitar player. So it's just the collection of people that they had putting the music together was just amazing. And then
they went away from their various disciplines to form something different.
Exactly.
It's kind of country rock,
yeah,
but not totally.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's interesting. I mean, it's kind of what we've done as a advisory firm, you know, and I say that. It's, you know, we're kind of the Eagles of the Lexington in our business. Yeah. Could do a lot worse. All right. We've talked about the advisor and how they get compensated or not. What do they invest in? And how do they do it? What is their style? By that, I mean, what kind of category can you put them in? And if they're really doing their job, it may be difficult to completely categorize them because they don't necessarily fit into a neat category. Essentially at our firm, we bear the marks of our past mistakes and victories. We have a collective memory of what we've done, things we didn't do, things we did right, things we did wrong, things we did half right. And in that collective memory is embedded our core competency. What do we know about? A lot of times the things you know about is where the horse kicked you. What have we learned? What mistakes did we make that we're willing to go back in and try and do it differently? Or what mistakes did we make that we ain't going back in? Anybody who manages your money is going to be, in some ways, the sum total of his or her experiences added in there. Is the ability to think and reflect upon those experiences. It's very hard to take that type of process and pigeonhole it into one particular discipline. It's an overall thing. You guys, I mean, it's just everything I know about investing, it's here at this table. I hate to say it, but you guys, I mean, if by myself, I'm not as good as I am with you all. You know, it's just a fact.
Well, I think that's the mark of a good team. You know, you look at, with a team, a strong team, you have people that are stronger in one area than I am, and vice versa. I mean, that's what makes a strong team, and that's why the firm operates like it does, is to ultimately benefit the client. You know, the collective experiences, the collective knowledge that everyone has is ultimately distilled down to the portfolio that our clients receive. And you look at, you know, past successes, past failures, you know, learning from those. This is something we've thrown around a lot, you know, being nimble. Now, that's a cutesy little thing to say, but what does it mean? It means being able to act quickly when you realize something wasn't working, adjust something when it is, fine tune something when it is working. It's the ability. I mean, who do we have as a firm to answer to other than our clients?
The SEC, but they're not in here every week. I mean, you know, people get away with stuff that the regulators don't know about. We don't, because we've got a very good compliance guy. Not like we're trying to, but that's a very strong element of what we do. But you don't really have anybody. I mean, you find out after the fact if you were screwing up in this business.
Yeah. And when we don't have, you know, we have ourselves and our clients to answer to from if you want to call it an employment standpoint, you know, from the client. So what that means is when something needs to be adjusted, it can happen very quickly. We don't have to run it up through corporate, you know, through the chain of command up that way. We can act quickly when something needs to be changed for the interest of our clients. And when people sit down and talk to us, yes, we you know, we go through the investment approach, what's in the portfolio, what we're recommending for them based on their situation. But the other color that comes out is the why behind the holdings. You know, it's not just we want large cap. You know, that it's not just that. It could be a particular sector. You know, why do you do an ETF here versus an individual stock? Why do you do an individual stock here versus an ETF? Why are you looking for growth here versus income here? There's a reason behind all of that. And that's the color that comes out when we talk to our clients. And I'll say this, when you ask your advisor to explain something, you know, be it a holding, an overarching philosophy on investing, a product, be it an annuity or something, you should be able to understand that. We've seen it a lot where people say, well, I asked, you know, why this annuity or why this thing? And they told me an answer. I didn't really understand it, but I was intimidated, or I didn't feel comfortable to ask anymore. Ask. It's your money. This is your money, and you need to be able to understand why you're invested, why you own the things that you own, and never feel intimidated to ask a question. And that's something we, you know, just stress to our clients. You know, just it really just comes.
I mean, we give our clients three questions a year that they ask. I mean, you know, and I think that's pretty generous.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. But it's, you should always feel comfortable asking questions to understand your money.
I think to add to that too, you know, you talk about the investment philosophy, but that's also the plan. you know, the if this, then this, if that, then that. And by that, I'm going to talk about a real life experience. You know, I went whitewater rafting. So this is, and I've used this analogy before, but, you know, like a rafting guide, you know, they're trying to get you through the experience.
Did you just go recently? Or?
No, this has been a while, but I'll never forget this. Every time we were coming up on a big, big rapid, our guide told us before we went through, if you fall out, swim hard left, swim hard right. Or,
this is in West Virginia.
Yeah. So, like, it helps that.
How many times you fall out?
Oh, I fell out a few times, but we have fun. That it was intentional.
It's the first I've heard of this.
I was thrown out. Let's just put it that way. We went surfing, but that's a story for a different day. That guide had a plan around every single turn, around every single, you know, if this happens, go here.
So, but in your case, when this happens.
I didn't fall out every single time. No, we fell out because we would surf. You would. Yeah. That means you flip the boat back around and go back into the rapid.
Up it.
Run away.
And then it's like riding a mechanical bull in the middle of a river. And we actually, I have it on video, we'll get back to this, but I have it on video where the entire boat, everybody fell out, including the guide, except for the one girl that was in the boat, and you should have seen her. She was like a mouse scurrying, like, get me off this thing, and eventually the whole boat flipped. It was pretty cool. But that being said, you need to have a guide, an advisor, that tells you, here is how we are going to approach each situation.
Right.
You know, and have those conversations, and it needs to be clear. Like you said, Mike, you need to ask questions, and you need to understand what you're doing.
I think, you know, educating the client on the investments, you know, is extremely important because, you know, as an advisor, we can, you know, make an investment because we have conviction in it. But if the client does not have, you know, the same conviction, then, you know, when times get tough, which they often do, you know, it's important for the client to be comfortable with what they own, and it's important for them not to, you know, make the wrong decision at the wrong time just because they did not understand the investment or because the advisor did not educate them properly on the investment.
When looking at, you know, talking about asking questions, I'm a firm believer that you should, you know, ask. Yeah, I ask you, okay, are you a fiduciary? You answer.
Yes.
I say.
Just leave it at that.
But you take it. Thomas Sowell wrote a book, Thinking Beyond Stage One. And once you ask a question approximately five times, then you can say, I understand it. You know, if you're talking about a particular holding, you know, what is it? Why do you own it? What's the management like? What's the dividend? I mean, you just going down the line, you think of it like, you know, annuities or whatever it is, be able to ask the question, and you dig deeper every time, deeper, 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 deeper. And by the time you get to the end, then you can really have an understanding of whatever the initial question was. And the key to that is the person that's telling you the answer, you're getting a lot from that side. They should be able to answer that question.
We got a little bit of time here. I want to kind of get into this checks and balance, custody, things like that. Custody. All right. If you have a brokerage account based retirement account, so your account is held in a brokerage account, a lot of people don't even think of who it's with. We've gone through a significant amount of due diligence picking with whom we custody the assets. For us right now, it's Fidelity. We would always revisit that. If anything ever became problematical with Fidelity, We don't have to have them, but we have used them after a long period of digging. And why? Why did we do that? Well, the brokerage firm that holds your assets has certain responsibilities. They produce a statement that they send you, but they also have to have a significant amount of capital in order to hold brokerage accounts. Not exactly like, but similar to a bank. They have to have capital. And we were not happy with where we were before, because when they took the commission rate on discount brokers to zero, that knocked off a huge part of their revenue, which we thought could impact capital adequacy. Fidelity, on the other hand, has significant income from things other than brokerage activities, mutual funds, you name it, which makes for a very nice capital base that would help them to weather certain downturns, especially where they could be impacted, is if there were lots of margin accounts where people borrow against the securities, the market dropped precipitously, they were unable to make the margin calls, and they ran into capital troubles. These things can and do happen.
And on top of that, how does your performance reporting and your billing, how does that come into play?
You got it, man.
And, you know, you need to have a third party that...
You got it.
Calculates the fees and the performance, but also gets that directly from the custodian. You know, so that way the advisor is the advisor. The advisor...
It's all he or she's doing. They are not custodying the assets, nor are they calculating the fees. We use a firm called Advison for that. They are third party. They go in and look at the numbers, and they don't doctor them, or we're not touching the numbers. They're being done. We made absolutely certain when we did this that we would have third party people that we could not mess with, as Bernie Madoff did, to doctor the statements or to doctor the performance numbers.
Exactly. Because you need to have that ability to act independently.
Many people simply don't understand separating all these things, and especially people that are not in the business don't understand how important it is and how important we believe it is, and the painstaking level of just making sure everything is separate and non-commingled.
Well, that's a wrap for this hour. If there's something that you heard that you'd like to hear again, you can always go to DupreeFinancial.com, click on the blog and radio tab, and you will find the latest editions of the Tom Dupree Show. I've just figured out how to edit out all the radio commercials, so it'll also save you some time in the podcast format. Click the Ask a Question tab on our homepage if you have a question that you'd like to ask us, and come see us. We'd love to see you in our offices.
I'm sure iHeart's going to love the fact that you're editing out all their commercials.
That's what podcasts are for. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
You folks look scary. Must need some money. Here's a grand for you.
Joe, what are you doing? This stuff doesn't grow on trees.
He's not the only one handing out cash. 12 chances a day to put a grand in your hand.
Grand for you.
Go take a nap.
Come on, man.
On News Radio 630 WLAP.
In many years of investing, I have come to the following conclusions. First of all, investing is not speculating. Investments driven by research take a great deal of risk out of the equation. Secondly, investing properly takes time. Third, no amount of time can make a poor investment a good one. We would like to help you with this process. We are qualified to do so. As a registered investment advisor and a fiduciary, we are able to provide you with an unbiased opinion concerning your investments. Call Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 for a no-obligation review of your investment portfolio. Also, listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at www.dupreefinancial.com.